Now, most of us get really excited about taking a trip to a place where we've never been before. And when we're excited about taking a trip to somewhere we've never been before, the last thing that we want is for someone to put our trip down or to, you know, put a damper on our excitement. Well, the fact is, every born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should be excited today, because at any time, we are going to take a trip. And we're going to take a trip to that glorious place called heaven. And this morning, what I want to do in this message is build up your, I guess you'd call it your before you go attitude of excitement about this trip that we're going to take anytime now. So let me share with you this morning why I believe that heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. Now, there are so many wonderful things about heaven that there is absolutely no way I can cover them all in one message. That's just not going to happen. But let me point out to you this morning a few things that I believe make heaven absolutely amazing. Now, the first one is this. When we get to heaven, we're going to receive a new body. A new body. Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. I know it says in the bulletin, Revelation 21. We'll get there eventually. But turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll begin in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, if you've been here a while and you've heard me preach on this subject before, you know that I believe that I never knew how fast the twinkling of an eye was until I moved to Rhode Island. The twinkling of an eye is the time it takes for the light to turn green and the guy behind you to blow his horn. That's the twinkling of an eye. Just like that, right? And so let's continue on here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, verse 52, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Let me stop there and tell you that when I teach about this to the children in our school, and I get to this part about the sting of death, I always remind them that Jesus took the stinger out of the yellow jacket called death. I mean, it's gone. There's no more sting to it for us as believers. That's why it's referred to at the beginning in verse 51 as just falling asleep. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about those words. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One of these days, the Bible says, all of a sudden, we're going to be changed in a moment. No more waiting. In heaven, we get new bodies. And that is an absolutely wonderful truth. I mean, if we're honest, we'd have to admit that living in this corruptible body is not so great, right? I look back at my own experiences. Two mild heart attacks, 35 different eye surgeries and treatments, having them now every 8 weeks. Arthritis in my ankles and my knees and my hips and my shoulders. Neuropathy in my feet, retinopathy in my eyes. Insulin injections 4 times a day. Guess what? I'm looking forward to the new body. That is absolutely for sure. Our earthly body gets tired and feels pain and gets sick. And with age, it moves slower. Our eyes dim. Our hearing becomes dull. And our hair and teeth fall out. And you know what? No matter how much money people spend every year to cover up, make up, lift up, and change the flaws in their body, guess what? There is no stopping this process, and there is no preventing this process. But for those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no big deal. Because one of these days, we're getting a new body, a new eternal body. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "For our conversation," an old English word for citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The eternal body will not get tired, it will not feel pain, it will not get sick, and it will not fall apart on us. Getting a new body is one reason why heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. Now, let me give you another one. Heaven will be absolutely amazing because we will live in a perfect house. Look over, if you would, at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is, I'm sure, a familiar passage of Scripture to you. John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3. Jesus says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, there is no such thing as a perfect house in this life. You can be all excited about moving into a new house, but shortly after you're there, it is possible for you to start having plumbing problems, electrical problems, squeaky floors, doors jamming, appliances that need repairing, cold when it should be warm, and warm when it should be cold. I'm convinced that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are constantly moving from house to house. It's because they're trying to find the perfect house. But there's no such thing as a perfect house. It doesn't matter if you get the best architect in town to design it. It doesn't matter if you get Kenny Putnam to build it. It doesn't matter if you use the very best materials available to build it. And it doesn't matter if you meet every building code in the book. There's still no such thing as a perfect house. You know, I think about the parsonage and our church building. I live in a house that was built in 1850, and I think I read our building was built somewhere around 1820, this portion of it. You know what? The repairs and the repair costs never end around here. These old buildings, there's always something that needs to be repaired. Guess what? I can't wait till those days are over and there are no more building repairs, right? Just no more building repairs at all. Because you see, the wonderful thing about living in heaven is that we're going to have this perfect house built by God. And the reason it is perfect is because God built it. Those mansions that we'll receive, they are built by God himself. And so we're going to have a perfect house. house to live in. Now, let me share with you another reason why heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. Think about this. As if receiving a new body and receiving a new house were not enough, we're also going to get to meet Bible characters. You know, I sat in Sunday school like many of you did all through my life growing up. I've heard about these great men and women of the Bible. And when we get to heaven, we'll get to meet them and talk with them. Won't that be amazing? We'll get to ask David what it was like to fight Goliath. We'll ask Noah, you know, what it was like living in the ark. We'll ask Moses about that parting of the Red Sea. We'll get to ask Daniel about spending the night in the lion's den. We'll ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about walking around in the fiery furnace. We'll get to ask Mary what it was like to be the mother of Jesus. This is going to be amazing. You know, over the years of my life, I've met some pretty famous people. I personally know the king of Saudi Arabia. I used to work for a company that built palaces for him. And if you were to go to Saudi Arabia and walk around one of his palaces, all the building materials were loaded by me into a truck, piece by piece by piece by piece. But I also had the opportunity to take him when he was the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and go all around Boston and New York City picking out furniture. I just had a pad of paper writing down what he wanted, and he'd just walk along and say, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I just write down what it is he wanted. And so I know the king of Saudi Arabia. I've two times in my life, I've flown to Washington, D.C. The first time, I sat next to Representative Barney Frank. You remember Barney Frank from Massachusetts? And the second time, I sat right next to Senator Ted Kennedy. And so I had opportunities to talk with these guys. I've had lunch with the former governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Almond. I've had lunch with the former mayor of Boston, Ray Flynn. And so I know some pretty famous politicians. I bumped into Bob Dole one day. Literally. In case I haven't told you this story, I had gone to Washington, D.C., and I went over to Senator Paul Tsongas' office. He was the senator of Massachusetts at the time, and got a pass to go into the Senate chambers so that I could sit there in the gallery and watch what was going on. And I was walking through the Capitol building in Washington and walking along a wall, and apparently there was a staircase that came down that I could not see from where I was walking. And just as I walked in front of the staircase, Bob Dole stepped off the staircase, and I knocked him on his rear end right on the stairs as in the Capitol building, Senator Bob Dole. So you know, I've met some famous politicians. I've met some famous actors. I've met Lassie. Now, I don't know which one of the 20 I met, but there were 20 different lassies. But I also met Rudd Weatherwax, the trainer of all of those lassies. I've met Clayton Moore, who's the Lone Ranger, and I met the Silver. I've met Adam West, who was Batman in the old Batman series. And so I've met some fairly famous actors over the years. I've met some famous preachers. In Baptist circles, you probably have heard of names like Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Bob Jones. These are all famous Baptist preachers who are also presidents of famous Baptist colleges. I've met them. I met Franklin Graham. I've met several famous preachers. I've met some famous athletes. I met Carl Yastrzemski. Is that name familiar with folks who are familiar with Red Sox history? I've met Ted Williams. I met Larry Bird. My grandmother used to play bridge on Friday nights with Larry Bird's girlfriend, and I got to meet Larry Bird. So I've met some pretty famous people over the years. And you know, when folks talk about meeting these kind of people, you can look into their eyes and you realize that, you know, these were some of life's great moments for them. But let me tell you something, meeting some popular, famous person down here is going to be nothing compared to what's going to happen in heaven. Because in heaven, we are going to meet the greatest men and women of God who ever walked on this earth. And that will be amazing. And not only will we get to meet them, we'll meet famous Christians from ages gone by. We'll meet John Wesley and Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and great missionaries like J. Hudson Taylor and Adoniram Judson and William Carey. What an amazing thing that's going to be. We'll get to meet these Bible characters and these great people of God down through the centuries. Now, another reason heaven is going to be a blast is because we will get to see our Christian loved ones who've gone on before. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, we begin reading in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That's an old English word for precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I am looking forward to that great day when I'm going to get to see my Christian loved ones again, or even meet some that I've never met. In my family, I have great-great-grandparents who were tremendous Christians. Their testimony has been passed down from generation to generation in my family. Great witnesses for the Lord Jesus. Same thing with my great-grandparents and my grandparents. Many of you had opportunity to meet my grandmother over the years until she went to heaven. And I'll get to meet them. I'll get to meet my mom. 4 years ago next month, my mom entered into heaven. I have aunts and uncles in heaven. Pam and I have a little child in heaven. And I know many of you here have loved ones. Some of you have spouses that are in heaven. And I'm looking forward to meeting my loved ones once again. You know, I stop by the cemetery every now and then, where my mom and my grandmother are buried right next to each other. Now, some people go to the cemetery to talk to their dead loved ones. I don't do that because I realize that they're not there. My mom and my grandmother are in the presence of Jesus, but their body's still there. And so I go to the cemetery and I talk to the dirt. And I say, Mr. Dirt, you may have my mom and my granny right now, but you're not going to have them long. Because as soon as the sound of the trumpet takes place and the voice of the archangel shouts, they're going to be bursting those graves wide open on that great resurrection day. And so, Mr. Dirt, you don't have them very long. And so I talk to the dirt when I go to the cemetery, because I know Mom and Granny are both in the presence of the Savior. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that great day when I can see them again. I love that old gospel song that says there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. To me, that's an amazing thing to look forward to. Now, here's number five. Number five, a reason that heaven's going to be so amazing is we're going to live in a perfect place. Now, not just have a perfect house to live in terms of our mansion, but we're going to live in a perfect place. Let me ask you this question. Does living in this world ever get you down? Do you ever get tired of some people treating you in ways that you don't like to be treated? You know, we see people who say they love each other, but the next time we see them, they hate each other. We see people who work hard for a living and someone comes along and steals everything from them. You know, we got this crazy identity theft stuff to deal with in our day and age. We hear politicians making all kinds of promises, but once they get into office, the only one they're looking out for is themselves. We put confidence in people's words, and we find out that they did not mean a thing they said. Life here on earth can be very discouraging. Life can bring us many tears. But again, that will not be forever. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. This is speaking about heaven. Verse 1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And if we were to read on through the passage, we would find where John is given a vision of heaven coming down from the sky. And John tells us that the heavenly city is surrounded by a high wall made of jasper. He says the foundations are made of precious stones. The city is made of gold and jasper. The 12 gates are made of solid pearls. He says that in this city there's no need for a temple, for God and his Son are there. There's no need for the sun, for God's glory and Jesus provide all the illumination that's needed. There's no more night nor darkness. Through the city flows the river of life as clear as crystal, its source coming from the very throne of God. Along its banks grows the tree of life, yielding 12 different monthly fruits. People wonder, whatever happened to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve fell? Well, there it is. It was taken to heaven. It's there in heaven waiting for us when we arrive. It's going to be a perfect place to live. Creation, which has suffered because of the fall, will be restored. Heaven is going to be an incredible place, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful. Our eyes have never seen and our ears have never heard anything so great as this great place. And then another reason heaven's going to be absolutely amazing is because we will be free from sin. Free from sin. You ever get aggravated with yourself? You have the best of intentions in life, but so often that's all they are, good intentions. Just consider some of the things that Paul talked about as he wrestled with sin. In Romans 7:15, he said, For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And in verse 21, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then later on in that chapter, in verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You ever feel like the Apostle Paul? I know I do. I too often find myself doing the things I don't want to do and not doing the things I want to do. And this struggle is one more reason why heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. Because in heaven, this battle with sin is going to cease. I will never again, and I mean never again, feel the pain of letting God down. Never again. In heaven, we will be free from sin once and for all. And then that leads to the final reason, and definitely the best reason why heaven is going to be absolutely amazing, and that is because we'll see the Savior. We'll see the Savior. We read in John chapter 14 where he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I love that verse of Scripture. I absolutely love that verse of Scripture. But let me show you one more in closing along these lines. 1 John chapter 3. Let's turn there for just a moment and we'll finish up. 1 John chapter 3. And once you get there, notice verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, did you get the impact of that verse? One day, it says, we're going to see him as he is. And really, that is what's going to make heaven so absolutely amazing. Heaven will be absolutely amazing because we're going to receive a new body. We'll live in a perfect house. We'll meet great Bible characters and Christians down through the ages. We'll see our Christian loved ones again. We'll live in a perfect place. We'll be free from sin, and we will see the Savior who loved us enough to leave heaven for a short time and come down here and die on an old rugged cross so that we could go to heaven one day. But just a reminder before we close this morning, that these promises are made only to those who believe in Christ and who are trusting him and him alone for the salvation of their soul. In John chapter 14, Jesus, as I quoted, makes this wonderful statement about heaven, talking about the Father's house and the mansions that are being prepared for us there in heaven. And if you're familiar with the passage, you know that almost as soon as Jesus got the words out of his mouth, Thomas speaks up, the Apostle Thomas. We refer to him as Doubting Thomas because he just questioned everything Jesus said. You can see it several times through the Gospels. He questioned everything Jesus said. That was just his nature. He was very inquisitive. And in this case, that was a good thing. Because after Jesus says all these wonderful words about heaven, Thomas basically says this, "Lord, how do we get there? How do we know the way?" And in response to that question, Jesus makes one of his most famous statements ever. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No other way to heaven except by faith in Christ. A personal faith in Christ is the greatest need of every person in the entire world. And as a Christian, that right there is the most important thing that we can tell the world. The most important thing. It is our job to remind the world that heaven is sweet, hell is hot, and the only way to gain one and avoid the other is by trusting in Christ. And there is no other way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. and for another opportunity this morning to look into it. We thank you for the great truths about heaven, and we look forward to that great day, Lord, when we will lay aside all the cares, all the burdens, all the sickness, all the sorrow, everything that we go through in this life that's difficult to deal with will be over, and we'll be in your presence forever. We thank you for that hope, and we thank you for sending Jesus to the cross so that we could have that hope, and we thank you that he rose again the third day so we could have eternal life. We rejoice in that this morning. And Father, my prayer is if there's anybody in here this morning that has not trusted Christ and not trusting him alone for their entrance into heaven, that today they would call out to him in faith and receive him as their Savior and gain that assurance that they're on their way to heaven. And for those of us who are saved, Lord, we got the best piece of news ever. Help us not to just hide it and hoard it for ourselves. Help us to get out of here and tell others that so that they too can go to heaven. Lord, help us to take the life-changing message of Jesus and share it with people every day. Because all around us, Lord, there are people who desperately need to hear it. And it's our job to tell them, give us courage, give us boldness, give us wisdom to speak to people about these matters. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing number 315, just a little chorus in closing. For God so loved the world. And then I invite you back this evening. Tonight we're going to be speaking along the lines of, okay, we talked about Jesus coming again. It says that in John 14, you know, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But how should we as Christians be living our life in these last days? How should we be living for the Lord as we await his return? We're going to be talking about that this evening, and I invite you to be back for that. Get some practical help in our Christian walk so that we can really shine bright for Jesus in these last days. And so, Roger, come and lead us in this this course. And don't forget, after we're done, that I need the folks who are going to be helping with the field day to stick around for just a few minutes. And let's see. Tom and Karen, would you do me a favor? And would you go to the door and greet people as they go out? No, you won't do it? Okay. And I'll just meet with the folks from the field day up here. I knew Tom and Karen weren't very friendly, but I didn't think they'd actually say anything. But if you could just meet them at the door and shake hands with them, I'd appreciate that. So let's go ahead and sing.
All right, let's stand.